4. Further attainments. Now when the Dhamma wheel was set rolling by the Gracious One, all the guards let loose a cry. Near Varanasi, in the deer park at Isipatana, the unsurpassed Dhamma wheel has been set rolling by the Gracious One, and it cannot be rolled back by an ascetic or by a Brahmana, or by a guard or by a Mara, or by a Brahma, or by anyone in the world. Thus at that moment, at that second, that cry reached as far as the Brahma worlds, and this 10,000 world element moved, wavered and shook, and great and measureless light became manifest in the world, transcending the godly power of the gods. Then the Gracious One uttered this inspired utterance. Kondanya surely knows, Kondanya surely knows. Thus to the Venerable Kondanya came the name Anya Kondanya, Kondanya, he who knows. Then the Venerable Anya Kondanya, having seen the Dhamma, attained the Dhamma, understood the Dhamma, penetrated the Dhamma, crossed over uncertainty, being without doubts, having attained full confidence, having become independent of others in the teacher's teaching, said this to the Gracious One, May I receive the going forth, Venerable Sir, in the presence of the Gracious One. May I receive the full ordination. Come, monk, said the Gracious One. The Dhamma has been well proclaimed. Live the spiritual life for the complete ending of suffering. That was the Venerable One's full ordination. Then the Gracious One gave advice and instruction with a Dhamma talk to the remaining monks. Then to the Venerable Wapat and to the Venerable Baddiya, as the Gracious One gave advice and instruction with a Dhamma talk, the dust-free, stainless vision of the Dhamma arose. Whatever has the nature of arising, all that has the nature of ceasing. They, having seen the Dhamma, attained the Dhamma, understood the Dhamma, penetrated the Dhamma, crossed over uncertainty. Being without doubts, they attain full confidence. Having become independent of others in the teacher's teaching, said this to the Gracious One. May we receive the going forth, Venerable Sir, in the presence of the Gracious One. May we receive the full ordination. Come, monks, said the Gracious One. The Dhamma has been well proclaimed. Live the spiritual life for the complete ending of suffering. That was the Venerable One's full ordination. Then the Gracious One, living on those two monks' food, gave advice and instruction with a Dhamma talk to the remaining monks, and the six monks subsisted on whatever, after walking for alms food, the three monks brought them. Then to the Venerable Mahanama and to the Venerable Asaji, as the Gracious One gave advice and instruction with a Dhamma talk, the dust-free, stainless vision of the Dhamma arose. Whatever has the nature of arising, all that has the nature of ceasing. They, having seen the Dhamma, attained the Dhamma, understood the Dhamma, penetrated the Dhamma, crossed over uncertainty. Being without doubts, having attained full confidence, having become independent of others in the teacher's teaching, said this to the Gracious One. May we receive the going forth, Venerable Sir, in the presence of the Gracious One. May we receive the full ordination. Come, monks, said the Gracious One. The Dhamma has been well proclaimed. Live the spiritual life for the complete ending of suffering. That was the Venerable One's full ordination. 5. The Discourse on the Characteristic of Non-Self. The First Arahants. Then the Gracious One addressed the group of five monks, saying, Bodily form, monks, is not self. For if this bodily form, monks, were self, this bodily form would not lead to affliction. And regarding bodily form, it might be possible to say, Let my bodily form be thus. Let my bodily form be not thus. But because bodily form, monks, is not self, therefore bodily form does lead to affliction. And regarding bodily form, it is not possible to say, let my bodily form be thus, let my bodily form be not thus. Feeling is not self. For if this feeling, monks, were self, this feeling would not lead to affliction. And regarding affliction, it might be possible to say, let my feeling be thus, let my feeling be not thus. But because feeling, monks, is not self, therefore feeling does lead to affliction. And regarding feeling, it is not possible to say, let my feeling be thus, let my feeling be not thus. Perception is not self. For if this perception, monks, were self, this perception would not lead to affliction. And regarding perception, it might be possible to say, let my perception be thus, let my perception be not thus. But because perception, monks, is not self, therefore perception does lead to affliction. And regarding perception, it is not possible to say, let my perception be thus, let my perception be not thus. Mental processes are not self. For if these mental processes, monks, were self, these mental processes would not lead to affliction. And regarding mental processes, it might be possible to say, let my mental processes be thus, let my mental processes be not thus. But because mental processes, monks, are not self, therefore mental processes do lead to affliction. And regarding mental processes, it is not possible to say, let my mental processes be thus, let my mental processes be not thus. Consciousness is not self. For if this consciousness, monks, were self, this consciousness would not lead to affliction. And regarding consciousness, it might be possible to say, let my consciousness be thus, let my consciousness be not thus. But because consciousness, monks, is not self, therefore consciousness does lead to affliction. And regarding consciousness, it is not possible to say, let my consciousness be thus, let my consciousness be not thus. What do you think of this, monks? Is bodily form permanent or impermanent? Impermanent, venerable sir. But that which is impermanent, is that unpleasant or pleasant? Unpleasant, venerable sir. But that which is unpleasant and changeable, is it proper to regard it thus? This is mine, this I am, this is myself. Certainly not, venerable sir. Is feeling permanent or impermanent? Impermanent, venerable sir. But that which is impermanent, is that unpleasant or pleasant? Unpleasant, venerable sir. But that which is unpleasant and changeable, is it proper to regard it thus? This is mine, this I am, this is myself. Certainly not, venerable sir. Is perception permanent or impermanent? Impermanent, venerable sir. But that which is impermanent, is that unpleasant or pleasant? Unpleasant, venerable sir. But that which is unpleasant and changeable, is it proper to regard it thus? This is mine, this I am, this is myself. Certainly not, venerable sir. Are mental processes permanent or impermanent? Impermanent, venerable sir. But that which is impermanent, is that unpleasant or pleasant? Unpleasant, venerable sir. But that which is unpleasant and changeable, is it proper to regard it thus? This is mine, this I am, this is myself. Certainly not, venerable sir. Is consciousness permanent or impermanent? Impermanent, venerable sir. But that which is impermanent, is that unpleasant or pleasant? Unpleasant, venerable sir. But that which is unpleasant and changeable, is it proper to regard it thus? This is mine, this I am, this is myself. Certainly not, venerable sir. Therefore, monks, whatever bodily form there is, in the past, future or present, internal or external, gross or fine, inferior or excellent, whether far or near, regarding all form, this is not mine, I am not this, this is not myself. In just this way, as it really is, it should be seen with full wisdom. Whatever feeling there is in the past, future or present, internal or external, gross or fine, inferior or excellent, whether far or near, regarding all feeling, this is not mine, I am not this, this is not myself. In just this way, as it really is, it should be seen with full wisdom. Whatever perception there is in the past, future or present, internal or external, gross or fine, inferior or excellent, whether far or near, regarding all perception, this is not mine, I am not this, this is not myself. In just this way, as it really is, it should be seen with full wisdom. Whatever mental processes there are in the past, future or present, internal or external, gross or fine, inferior or excellent, whether far or near, regarding all mental processes, this is not mine, I am not this, this is not myself. In just this way, as it really is, it should be seen with full wisdom. Whatever consciousness there is, in the past, future or present, internal or external, gross or fine, inferior or excellent, whether far or near, regarding all consciousness, this is not mine, I am not this, this is not myself. In just this way, as it really is, it should be seen with full wisdom. Seeing in this way, monks, the learned, noble disciple grows weary of bodily form, and weary of feeling, and weary of perception, and weary of mental processes, and weary of consciousness. Through weariness he becomes dispassionate. Through dispassion he is liberated. In liberation there is the knowledge that such is liberation. Destroyed is rebirth. Accomplished is the spiritual life. Done is what ought to be done. There is no more of this mundane state. This he knows. The Gracious One said this, and the group of five monks were uplifted and greatly rejoiced in what was said by the Gracious One. Moreover, as this sermon was being given, the group of five monks' minds were liberated from the pollutants without attachment, and at that time there were six worthy ones in the world.